Today on Pilgrim Radio's His People, Ken Bitgood making Bibles available in countries that need them.
Christians are coming to Christ faster than ever before in places like Africa and the Middle East. They're in need of Scripture. And so our goal, our prayer is that this project that is now being joined by multiple ministries will result in more Scripture going out in the way that is best for the people for whom it has been translated and created.
Ken Bitgood next. Today we'll find out about the Digital Bible Society. It exists to produce digital resources to make Scripture available to all nations and people groups. Our guest is Ken Bitgood, founder and CEO of the Digital Bible Society, which is a founding member of the Bible Access Initiative. Spencer Dahlke is with him to find out more.
First question I just wanted to ask is a little bit about your work with the Digital Bible Society and how you ended up there.
Certainly. So came to know the Lord in the 1970s. That was probably before you were born, Spencer. It was the tail end of the Jesus movement. We were around people who took discipleship and the study of Scriptures very seriously. And so I had the privilege of being introduced to the Scriptures, especially the audio Bible, in 1978. And I was among a group of people, kind of radical, where we just thought, hey, listen, let's take the Scripture seriously. And if the Scripture says that we should delight ourselves in the law of the Lord, in Psalm 1, and meditate it on day and night, we shall be like trees planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in season. And so we took that seriously. And so what we did is we found ways to play the audio Bible day and night. Back in those days, it was the Alexander Scorby King James Version of the Bible. But we just listened to that as a band of brothers and just ingested the Scripture over years. Before long, we found ourselves memorizing books of the Bible and just letting the Word of God abide in us. And Jesus said, if you continue in my Word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so we began to experience this freedom in our lives and became a group of disciples focusing on the Word. That continued. I lived that very focused on God's Word for a long time and continue to this day. I was blessed with a beautiful wife in 1987, and she also loved the Lord with all of her heart. And my life has just been blessed because someone provided the Scriptures in a way that was ingestible, a way that we could abide in. You know, Jesus said, if you have my Word, and he that has my Word and keeps them, he it is that loves me, and my Father will love him, and says in John 14, and we'll come unto him and make our abode with him. And we experience that in our lives by just living in the Scriptures, living in the Word, letting it form our mind, our worldview, letting it dictate the course of our life. In 2001, living that way, I was introduced to some Chinese missionaries who had come out of China for 30 years planting churches with no Bibles. And they were asking me, I'd become a programmer. I worked for the FAA as an air traffic controller, and I'd been a programmer for the government. And they asked us, would you please help us? We wanted to bring anything back to China. One missionary was trying to scan Matthew Henry's commentary in English, page by page, so he could put on CDs and bring back to China. Long story short, we said, don't do that. I mean, let's find things that are in Chinese. We'll put them together for you on CDs. This was the year 2001. CDs was the medium. I said, you can go across China and hand it out to your heart's content. And so we prayed that God would give us resources in Chinese and that we would put them together. I had some programmer friends. We put them together, very crude libraries, but they just made such an impact, and they were being copied all over China. That launched us into a ministry that we've named Digital Bible Society. And our calling is not just to do that in Mandarin Chinese, but we started working in the Arabic world and Farsi for the Persian world. And God's just called us to take that same model and to apply it to every language. Can we not simply put resources in the hand of every church planner, every missionary, every pastor, everybody that's doing any kind of mission work or evangelistic work worldwide? Can we not put the resources into their hand to take into country, into villages, and make them copyable or make them audible in a way so that everybody in the world, regardless of their language, their dialect, whatever, they can have access to the living words of God and have that privilege that Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and that they would have life abundantly. And then Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So that's the motivation that has driven us for 25 years. It's been a huge work. It's something we continue to do. And we're seeing millions of resources now go into all the world that can be shared and copied. Gosh, I think we're doing up to 4,000 languages now.
This Bible Access Initiative that you helped co-found, can you tell us a little bit about what it is and in what ways maybe God used your work with the Digital Bible Society to prepare you for this other project?
Over the years, we've made connections and have major partnerships with great ministries. You might be familiar with Brother Andrew's Open Doors International. He was the original God smuggler, bringing Bibles into then the Soviet Union and other closed nations, well, since the 1950s and 60s. We've been partnering with them. Members of that great organization are on our board of directors. And one in particular is a gentleman named Weibo Nikolai, who you may have read about. He's the founder of what many of your listeners would know as the World Watch List. And this has been, since 1997, a list of the top 50 nations in the world where it is most difficult and dangerous to be a Christian. It's where persecution is greatest in the world. If your listeners are not familiar, just Google World Watch List. It has been used worldwide. It's, you know, widely known. People have been using it as a prayer list and for strategy. It's just phenomenal. We've used it for decades, the World Watch List. Well, Weibo is a friend, and I happened to be meeting with him in 2018. I said, you know, people are not aware, they don't understand the dire need for scriptures in many of the nations of the world. Spencer, we live in a bubble here in North America. We think we got a handle on what's going on in the world, but unless we get out of our bubble, we have no idea. The population of North America is 5% of the world, and the vast majority of the world is entirely different than what we know, especially in places like Asia and Africa. And so, is there not a way to use the same excellent research and tools that went into the World Watch List to create a list that would inform people where Christians around the world are waiting for, longing, or dreaming to have a Bible of their own? And so he just thought that was a great idea. We didn't really realize what we were getting into, but he's quite an innovator. And with the funding and help of Open Doors International and now five other organizations, we've done 5 years of research. It's now 6-7 years of research. And we have produced a list that shows two answers, two questions. Where in the world, by country, is it most difficult to get the scriptures? Which is a very fascinating list. And then the second list is, where is the Bible shortage greatest by nation in the world? Those results are done now after years of publishing, of research, hundreds, almost 1,000 different interviews worldwide with people who are living and experts in each of these countries. That those results are now online at BibleAccessList.org. It's the beginning of a research project that is growing in influence. We've had some great organizations, Bible League International, Voice of the Martyrs, Bible League of Canada, Biblica, Frontlines International are joining with us with research. We have the Bible Societies and Wycliffe are joining in, YouVersion is joining in, sending tons of research to understand our world better in hopes that this will raise funds, it will raise awareness, it will raise prayer support, and it will help for people to strategize where there are literally millions of Christians right now who cannot afford a Bible, who would love to have one, who cannot read a Bible if they did have one. The World Literacy Foundation believes that half of the world or more is functionally illiterate, meaning that they may be able to read a street sign or sign their name, but they will not be able to sit down and read their Bible. They need the audio scriptures. A whole new generation of media-driven young people, they need to see the visual scriptures. So there's this awakening that is happening right now around the world. God's Spirit is moving. Christians are coming to Christ faster than ever before in places like Africa and the Middle East. They're in need of scripture. And so our goal, our prayer is that this project that is now being joined by multiple ministries will result in more scripture going out in the way that is best for the people for whom it has been translated and created.
I do want to ask about the Bible access list, though. I think that was kind of like the whole idea of like, you have thoughts about this. You guys do this research from the through the Bible Access Initiative. Is that correct?
That's correct. That is the Bible Access Initiative is the group that's forming to maintain and to update that research in the future.
What are the key findings from the research you did over, I guess, this last year? And how does it line up with, I think, the World Watchers you mentioned from Open Doors?
They run on the same course. So the two aspects of the Bible access list are where access is most constrained in the world. And so that does have parallels with the World Watch List. Obviously, some of the countries, Somalia, Yemen, North Korea, they're high on the World Watch List as well. But this shows it in a different aspect where it is, in Somalia, it's nearly impossible to get a Bible. That's number one on the list. And for understandable reasons, Somalia is really going through a lot. Yemen is high up there. India is becoming increasingly difficult to get scriptures. And China, believe it or not, is still high on the list as well. Although many Christians are able to access scripture, many are still not able to because of government restrictions. With regards to the shortage list, what has been really amazing to see is how sub-Saharan Africa is lighting up the shortage list. Countries like Congo and Nigeria, Ethiopia are the top three. So many believers in these countries. We have partners and friends done distribution in Ethiopia. You show up with a truckload of Bibles in Ethiopia, it causes riots. DR Congo, where it's so difficult to get scriptures, and yet there are so many Christians, especially young Christians, that would love to have a Bible, and especially an audio Bible. Nigeria, with this 300-plus languages, there's more languages in Nigeria. It's just off the charts, and yet so many believers there. And then bring the conflict of the northern portions of Nigeria, where Islam is persecuting Christians. I mean, it's a real place of conflict. Sudan is high on the list, as many, many Christians are people are coming to Christ in Sudan. But the real need right now is, yes, it's definitely in Asia as well, but sub-Saharan Africa has been a great surprise to us.
Well, my guest today is Ken Bitgood. He's a founder and CEO of the Digital Bible Society and the co-founder of the Bible Access Initiative, which recently released its 2025 Bible Access List. I was taking that as maybe not a pleasant surprise. Is that right? And what's changed?
I don't think it's necessarily changed as much as, if I'd use the word, it's evolved. As the Spirit of God is moving across Africa, you know, there's 1.5 billion people in Africa, and many, many of them have come to Christ. I mean, on paper, at least, in DR Congo, there's 90-plus percent of people call themselves Christians. And yet, as many as 50 million of those people in DR Congo would love to have a Bible but can't get one. They need to have the scripture. They need to have the same benefit that we, Spencer, you and I might take for granted with Bibles on our shelves, you know. They don't have that benefit. And if they even had it, they might not even be able to read that. They need the audio Bibles. They need to have access to the scriptures. What is changing is in places like Iran, where the church is exploding because people are wholesale turning away from Islam. Some say there's 5, some say there's 10. Nobody knows. Could be as many as 10 million new believers in Iran. They can't get, you don't go to a Bible bookstore in Iran. You can't order off Amazon and get a Bible in Iran. You can't even go online and access scripture there. But yet people are hungry, churches are forming, and we're having the joy of seeing tens of thousands of Bible libraries on micro SD chips going into the country and being distributed among house churches. Many, many people are turning to Christ in these regions that sometimes we vilify because the governments are so bad and so problematic, yet many of the people in those countries are turning to Christ because they have nowhere else to turn. And the churches, they say one of the fastest growing churches right now is in Afghanistan. We've done distributions inside Afghanistan with partners, and the Bible are just snatched up. The demand so far exceeds the supply in these countries. It's an exciting time to be alive. It's an exciting time to be a young man like you in this country. It's an exciting time to be in this world and see the fulfillment of Matthew 24:14, it says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached, and I think it's the NASB, it says published in all the world before the end comes. And so this promise, it's right in the middle of the Olivet Discourse, this reflection of the heart of Christ is that the gospel of the kingdom, the word of God, the good news of Christ will be published in all the world. Many of your listeners may know there's over 7,800 languages in the world. And with, you know, many years of work by great organizations, the scripture exists now in almost 4,000 of those languages. But in the next decade or so, we will see the word of God published in every language that is spoken on the earth for every people group. So we're gonna see that in our lifetime. It's a very exciting time, but it's not enough to translate it. It's got to be in the hands of the people in a way that they can receive, in a way they can use, that they can ingest and live into their life. That's really the goal of the Bible Access List, is to raise awareness and to continue raising awareness as God allows and God provides into the future.
Could you tell us a little bit more about how you reach some of these churches, particularly for like gathering this information to compile this Bible Access List? And more importantly, how can this list inform the church here in America?
We gather research from many different ways. We're working with research organizations here in the States, the Christian World Database, groups like Joshua Project. Many different ministries are getting involved. But a lot of the groups that are joining us actually have people in countries. For example, I mentioned Open Doors International. They have people in the 50 top countries of the World Watch List. They're already there actually working. They're, as they would say, overused phrase, boots on the ground. People who are there linked into the country, those people are vital. Multiple ministries are another great group is One Hope that does children's ministry out of Fort Lauderdale. They're worldwide. They have people in hundreds of countries. By tapping into major ministries who are already have local presence in the countries, we're able to interview them and glean information from them. That's one way of doing it. Others is just simply going and visiting with pastors at conferences and leaders, annual conferences in Africa where leaders from across the nation gather. They're very interested in this data. And the Bible societies worldwide are very interested in this data because we all have a stake in this work. What God has done in setting up networks around the world through the Bible societies, through many different agencies, it's really profound, but there is a reach, as it were, a net worldwide that is already in place. And so one of the ways we've been able to gather research is to tie into that net and to work with people, interview people, and other groups like YWAM and OM are also all over the world. They also provide data that flows into this research.
I understand that, you know, you don't just gather data, but that, of course, you mentioned you even help proliferate Bibles in some of these countries. What are some of the biggest challenges in trying to distribute Bibles in these restricted, persecuted regions?
Courage and creativity. In some places, I'm thinking of, you know, the northern tip of the Korean Peninsula. I don't even want to say the name. In some countries, it's just the need is so huge. There are many believers that are waiting, dreaming of having scriptures. But with creative means that I won't discuss here, there are agencies, there are groups who are smuggling Bibles, just like it was with Brother Andrew in the 50s. They're still importing and bringing Bibles around the world into many different countries. It takes someone who is willing to go into all the world and to make disciples of the nations. It takes people who will carry in resources. It used to be we would carry in a box of Bibles, and with our ministry, we've kind of gravitated from that to digital means. You need a screen, a resource. We do a lot of solar power audio Bibles, especially where oral cultures, unreached people groups. Right now, we have a team in Nepal that's finishing up a distribution of 40,000 audio players in 30 different dialects. They are distributed through the churches and through missions agencies that are in the country. So by connecting resources here in the West from funding agencies and donors, like people who are listening to this, we're able to produce and deliver to individuals around the world who would love to be able to give to the people they serve scripture. So that's how the distribution works. In reference to an earlier question, we had one donor who saw the need in Ethiopia and was connecting with the gentleman I just mentioned, Weibo, and said, we need to do something about this country. Why don't we just do something right now? And he just wrote a check. He says, I want to see 70,000 Bibles go into Ethiopia. Just because he saw how Ethiopia scored on the list. Those have already been processed, printed, and delivered into the country, and now they're begging for more. You know, it's just the tip of an iceberg. But as people become aware, they may want to take on a nation and help, or maybe their church will want to sponsor projects. But because Christians around the world are literally dying to get their hands on the Word of God.
Are there any moments that you could like pinpoint for us where access to the Bible was limited and how the Bible Access Initiative made a visible and poignant difference?
The story I just mentioned in Ethiopia, but we're just beginning to get started here. What has happened is awareness has been raised. I previously mentioned Iran. As awareness is being raised, people we just had one group said, hey, we want to send audio Bible players into that country. And of course, I can't discuss that here, but tens of thousands of resources are going out just because people are aware. And the resources are there. People have the funding. They just don't know where to invest it. If people wanted to get involved, if each of the groups that I mentioned are listed on the website, and there's others that are joining with us, they all have initiatives. They're all looking to do Bible distribution in countries. But now, with awareness raised, that's increasing. And so I would encourage people to contact, you know, one of the organizations. Bible League International is doing an incredible work. Bible League of Canada is doing an incredible work getting scriptures into the tough regions of the world. I think of India right now. The awareness that was raised on India caused one of our partners, I'm not going to mention them, to say, let's start. And so we were able to work with a number of agencies who have made Bible content in languages of India. And this week, we're carrying in, it's about 10,000 micro SD libraries that are being distributed in different portions of India. I have to be careful what I say because I don't want to get people in trouble or, you know, stop things, but it's an exciting time. And the interesting thing is, Spencer, it's never been easier to deliver Bible content to people. When we talk about micro SDs, even the poorest of the poor in India have cell phones, Android phones that will accept micro SDs. And if you're talking Marathi or Telugu or Tamil or, you know, multiple languages, Bengali in India, there's 490 plus languages in India. You can give someone a lot of content for less than half of the cost of a Starbucks cup of coffee now. It could be life-changing. They too can have the same privilege that we have to delight themselves in the law of the Lord, to meditate upon it day and night, to let the Word of God, you know, bring life and insight and truth and freedom.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. Like, we get afraid, especially here in America, like, technology is really making it very easy for, you know, authoritarian regimes to censor people. But like, on the other hand, you know, it's much easier to load up 10,000 copies of a Bible onto a micro SD card that's like, could fit on my pinky rather than having boxes and boxes of it. That would right. seem to be a lot easier to smuggle, like one little chip.
It is. And so you could take 1,000 of these micro SDs, and on each of them, we have a library for Arabic resources that has over 1,000 books, Bibles, commentaries, and all that costs less than $3. But you can take 1,000 of those and you could put them in your front pocket. Now, it is going to light up if you go through an airport on a scanner, so you might want to be a little more discreet with it, but you can bring untold amounts of resources to people now. And we've seen dozens, hundreds of stories. You can see, we put many of them on our own website, which is dbs.org, where people's lives have been impacted by simply having access to scriptures. Not just to scriptures, but discipleship resources as well. Training materials, children's materials. I mentioned our Arabic and our Farsi libraries. There are over 1,000 resources on it. Children's movies, you know, movies on discipleship and new believers classes and children training, and the list just goes on.
How can individuals, churches, or organizations get involved with or support the Digital Bible Society and the Bible Access Initiative.
We welcome support for the Bible Access Initiative and the Bible Access List. They can get involved first by visiting BibleAccessList.org. There are a number of ministries they can click right into and explore people who are doing work in these places. I would encourage people to, if the Lord is touching their hearts, to get involved. And specifically, if there's a particular country, there's a contact page right on that. They could contact us and say, we really want to do something in Bangladesh, or we feel that God is calling us to do something in India or China. We'll get you in touch with one of the ministries who are actually working there so that you can form a personal relationship with the ministry and find out what they're doing and how you can get involved. We need people praying for this initiative. We need people who are willing to go to be couriers, especially in the harder countries. We need to raise awareness. We need to be able to form a larger coalition to ensure that all of the scripture gets to the people for whom they were created. We invite people to welcome that. They can visit our website at dbs.org. If they want to continue the conversation, we would be so honored.
You've been listening to His People on Pilgrim Radio. Many thanks to today's guest, Ken Bitgood, founder and CEO of the Digital Bible Society. Coming up on tomorrow's program, it's Derry Fink introducing young people to missionary aviation.
A sick patient is the son of a missionary who's, or the daughter of a missionary who's translating the Word of God, been in the village for 15 years, and he needs a medevac flight now, but it's 2 weeks to walk out, 3 days to walk out through jungle war, or in a lot of cases through unrest, through war. And we can take the aviation asset and get there quickly and get the person back to help. That is usually the best testimonies of the ones that use the airplane.
That's tomorrow at the same time, right here on His People. Thanks for listening.